Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Welcome, New Life family and friends. It is actually Chris Williams in studio for Steve today. I will be in the driver's seat.
All right, and we're in the back seat. I'll let you ride.
I'm in the way back. I thought I was in the way back.
You're going to ride pony with Chris. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
It most likely will be a very bumpy ride, very interesting. We'll have to navigate some obstacle courses, but I have two unbelievable life navigators with me today. Dr. Sherry Keffer.
Hey, you too. It's great to be with you.
Good to be with you. And Dr. Alice.
Hello, and hi, everybody watching and listening.
All right. So, okay, I'm going to go with something to open the show. As I say this morning, it's this afternoon, is that I was thinking a lot about the impacts of addiction on the person who is using or acting out. So one of the things that we know that addictive devices do is it medicates. And it medicates our pain and our struggles. But the medication that it provides is sort of like a blunt force tool. It's like a sledgehammer. And so that's what provides its effectiveness, is because it's a sledgehammer for our suffering. But what it will never be able to do is provide us with the fine tools it takes to create our lives, the fine tools of wisdom, the fine tools of resiliency, the fine tools of authentic love and growth and all of those things. So for those who are struggling with addiction or those around addiction, what tools are people missing out on because they're medicating their pain? Mm-hmm.
When you call that blunt force tool, when we're seriously injured, sometimes we feel numb at first because of the adrenaline coursing through our body. And when we're numb, we don't have to experience the pain that the injury actually just caused us. Mm-hmm. And substances or addictive behavior do something similar, where they take us out of the current emotional pain that we're in or the discomfort that we're in. So they're a distraction, they're a numbing device. So we feel better. They're a temporary solution that can work very, very well in the short term. But emotional discomfort, when we work through it and process it, when we feel it and deal with it, that's where maturity and character growth come from, when we stick with the discomfort and the pain. But addiction sidesteps that for a time. And so we're stuck in an immature state, and it does delay our growth.
Yeah.
You know, y'all are so true. I'm thinking, what are the five dives? You know, like what does addiction kill? Mm. It basically kills, even though you think you're getting that fix that's going to feel good for that moment, it really kills connection with yourself and other people because of shame. You don't want to get close to others. It actually really harms your relationship with God because you feel shame and you don't want to get close. It hurts your brain. Yeah. You know, your brain ends up being compromised. It hurts your primary relationship, whatever relationship you're in. And it hurts intimacy. You know, intimacy, you see. There's so many things that addiction, you know, it's the counterfeit.
Yeah.
It makes you think it's the way out, but it's the way down.
And I think that so much of that is the truth of that is that by avoiding our suffering with these horrible medicators, it doesn't allow the fine tools that creates intimacy and connection and growth and wisdom and creativity. But it requires that we put the medicator away and actually get into the suffering itself.
Which means having to touch the pain of what happened to you early on. That's driving that addiction.
And that's what we're here at New Life to do, to provide hope and healing in life's hardest places. But we got to get to those hard places, so give us a call so we can help you.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. I just want to mention things as we ended the last segment talking about hard places and bringing hope and healing in those. If you are a guy out there and you are struggling with sexual integrity, if you are betraying yourself, betraying your partner, your spouse, God, whatever, if you're stuck in this bad pattern, please don't stay there. Every Man's Battle is going to be here in Orange County, June 2nd through the 4th. Also, if you are a woman who has felt the deep, deep pain of betrayal and sexual betrayal, we have on June 10th Restore Workshop that's being offered online. And just to put it out there, hey, if your marriage is struggling, we got Intimacy in Marriage coming July 28th in Washington, D.C. So there are some great, great opportunities to do what Sherry said, touch the pain so we can experience the healing and growth beyond it. So,
and Chris, our willingness to do that affects the next generation.
For
because
sure.
If infidelity, if addiction or sexual immorality has touched your marriage, it will also affect your children. And it's a setup for them to repeat the pattern, either as perpetrators or as victims of the same problem. So going to these weekends breaks a generational cycle and pattern and sets your children up for success. So please consider our workshops.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go straight to the phones. We're going to go to Caitlin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, listening on WFIL. Caitlin, are you there?
Oh, Catherine.
Catherine. Is it Catherine?
Hi, Hello, Catherine. Can you hear us?
Are you there?
Yes, okay. I can.
Oh, there you go. So it's Catherine, right?
It's Catherine, yeah.
Okay, got that right. What's going on today? Talk to us.
Well, I am the leader of a widow's ministry in our church, and in doing a lot of research on the national group in our, you know, there's very few churches have the ministries needed to support emotionally that they, widows, not only widows, but divorcees and single men and other people, widowers, single people, people who are lonely.
Yeah, yeah, we have a loneliness epidemic. Yeah, we have a loneliness epidemic out there. So yeah, is there a question?
Right.
Yeah, is there a question for us we can help you with?
What can be done about it? Most of the churches do not acknowledge it. Ours financially is helping us. But emotionally,
yeah,
I don't know what how to phrase the question.
Well, how do we meet the needs of people who find themselves in hard and lonely places?
Right.
Yeah,
Catherine, would
right.
you tell us a bit about your story? How did you become a leader in this ministry in your church? Because that's part of the answer. Tell us what happened with you.
Well, my husband passed away about 9 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, our pastor said, wait, you're not ready yet. And I've started to, over the time, period of time, and I know my personality is one to do things right immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brought in, there was another lady that came into our church and lost her husband. And since then, we combined, and she had the talents I didn't have, how to compute, to do things on the computer, and I didn't I didn't know anything at all. I still don't. And I feel like then we started slowly, had to make a program out that we were going to follow and meet with the pastors of the church and the upper echelon of the church and get the just turn to realize to start the program out.
Yeah.
We have other churches involved now, and we have 15 or 16 members in our particular group.
Well, that's fantastic.
Hundreds of them.
Yes.
that we have hundreds of them out there that are not getting any support at all.
Yeah.
You know what I did, and I love, Catherine, your spark. You're like John the Baptist. You're a spark starter, right? I mean, John the Baptist was the leader, the one that opened the way for Jesus to come. And I hear this mission, like you have a mission now out of this pain that's happened in your life. You know what I did? At one point, when I started talking about one of the aspects that you've mentioned, betrayal, like that's where I experienced a lot of grief. I started asking if I could do just a free, a couple hour, 1 or 2 hour conversation at churches nearby. And I just went and talked about sexual betrayal. Well, you know what happens when we just start doing that? People come. And then they begin to want to have groups at their church. And so I hear your passion, and it's like we all want kind of this instant fix. But you know what? It's more like a grassroots connection that can happen at churches. But it takes people like yourself to do what you're doing and then to just take it one step further.
Mm-hmm.
Like just go share your story and see if there are even more in your area that would like to do the same. Or pull together two or three of you to go and talk at a church about grief. It doesn't just have to be you.
I know. I have done some. We've passed out flyers. We've passed out lots of different things.
But what's your frustration? Is it that people aren't coming? Because, you know, people that are grieving are some of the most scared people I know. You know why?
I know.
You know why? They don't want to feel their feelings. Mm-hmm. They're running from it. They're running from crying. I had someone in my office this week, and I was talking to her, and we were talking about this very topic. And it's easy to stay in our head and talk about the details of what happened. But when you really are with someone that you can let go and cry, that's where the healing happens.
But the main thing we're doing right now is to laugh and be just close and call during. We went through all COVID.
Mm-hmm.
We went to making phone calls, postcards, letters, you know, just cards.
Well, Catherine, that's...
But it's not...
Oh, yeah.
It's not only the widows, but it's all the loneliness within the church.
Yes, yeah.
You'll find that in the... many of the divorcees want to join our group.
Catherine, you're pointing exactly to the solution that Jesus tries us to point to as well. And you've had the courage, the need, and the perseverance to build a group. 15 to 16 people is actually a really big number for a group like this.
Some places, that's the church, right?
Yes, and we're so proud of... We're so proud of you that you did this. And you're kind of a clarion call to the rest of our listeners that community is the solution to loss and pain. But unfortunately, most of us are more familiar with and comfortable with isolation, that is generally what we choose. But God's answer to the pain we suffer in this world is exactly what you're pointing to. It's other people, it's community and sisterhood and brotherhood and starting up relationships. So thank you for reminding us and for pointing us to that. And folks, if any of you have ever been interested in starting a group, New Life has such structured material to use. It was what I used to start my first group. It was a healing is a choice structure. So that, because I didn't know how to start a group. And at first, Catherine, nobody came to my group. I sat for nights and nights all by myself wondering, God, where are the people? I know they have need. Why aren't they coming? But we are afraid to come. But somebody needs to start it. And then eventually, folks do show up. So thank you for being that brave group starter and for reminding us to do the same.
What resource can we give her?
Well, we're definitely going to send her a Life Recovery Bible.
I think that'd be great.
And we are going to also just mention a couple things here. You know, I know that Sherry wrote it on her page there, but Grief Share is out there. You know, like you said, a structured program. Mm-hmm. Divorce Care is out there. But Catherine has, I think, a really important protest. And her protest is a very common theme among people who are activators, mm-hmm. people who are creators and pull things together and have the leadership skills that she has, who also come with a kind of deeper sense of justice. Like, it's not right that we're not doing more and there's more available. And all of that is true. But I would remind Catherine and other activators out there that get really frustrated about this is don't let the inactivity mm-hmm. or even the apathy of other mm-hmm. people get in the way of your work. Keep going. Yeah. Keep doing and keep spreading. For those that see a need out there and you're wondering, what do I do? If it's not there, well, go create it. And go make it.
New Life loves to pastor with churches and to help educate pastors mm-hmm. of how to bring group community in, how to establish it and set it up. So if you're interested, you want to connect your church to New Life, please give us a call because we can get those materials to you.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Catherine, thank you so much for calling in today. Thank you even more so for the work that you're doing to help bring God's love and connection to the lonely places of our lives. So we're going to go back to the phones, and we are going to go to Ruth in Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD. Ruth, are you there?
I am.
Hi. Talk to us today. What's going on?
Hi. Well, I'm not sure how to navigate the waters that my husband and I have faced for the last 9 years. We've been married 9 years at the end of this month. And he has three adult daughters. Two of them are in their 40s and one in her 30s. And they have never given our marriage respect, and they don't accept me. Mm. And we have been unfortunately separated for the last 3 months. And I'm pretty devastated because he chooses to not look at, I mean, at least from my perspective, he's choosing to not look at what we've shared, which has been a beautiful story for the last 9 years. And he's listening to something else that is just pulling him away from me. Hmm. And I don't know what to do.
I'm a little confused. Help me out, because we want to help you. If there's been such a beautiful story over the last 9 years, why is it that you're separating, and why is it that there's such dissension between his three daughters and you?
Well, they've never accepted me. One of them didn't even come to our wedding, and they, there probably is a little bit of not beauty in the story. I would like to think there was beauty because in my mind it was forgetting all of this. But he's required, he has been required to share every holiday, every major holiday with his daughters and their families and the ex-wife. And I don't go because I went the first time and it was a devastating experience for me.
What do you mean by required?
Well, she's a very controlling person.
Who is she?
His ex-wife.
Oh, ex-wife, okay.
His ex-wife. Yes, she's a very controlling person. And she told me that. I went to meet with her when my husband and I first got married to just try to make peace. And she told me that my life would be getting much more difficult now.
Yeah.
And, she's very controlling.
And so, Ruth, yeah, let me jump in. What is the question for us today? How can we help you?
Well, I want to know how to save my marriage. I want to know how to not upset him by, saying anything negative about the girls.
Yes.
Save my marriage.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you hear the music, so we're going to head to a break here really soon. Thank you so much for calling in. We're going to get to this. We're going to help solve this really, really difficult issue in Ruth's marriage. If you want to talk to us today, please give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to take your call. We'll be in studio for a couple hours. Again, that is 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Again, Chris Williams, Alice Benton, Sherry Keffer. We're talking with Ruth in a very, very painful, difficult marital situation. Separated from her husband of 9 years, 3 adult children, who have never really accepted her. So, Sherry, what do you think?
I just have one last question, Ruth. How long was it from the time you met your now husband and the divorce being over?
About 20.
So he'd been divorced for 20 years from former wife that's controlling, and then you meet him way down the road.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
You know, it's sad. It's like they divorced and they became friends. And then she's worked very hard to just keep her family together.
Yes.
And you probably came into this thinking, oh my goodness, he's been divorced a long time and his heart's open now. It's been 2 decades and... surely I can bring something new and fresh into his experience. But that's what you didn't see is, you know, there's a net around him and his girls and her. And you're having a hard time breaking into that.
Yes.
What are you fighting for?
I'm really at this point feel like I'm in a spiritual battle, and so I'm really hoping that the darkness doesn't win.
But like a spiritual battle, when I was fighting for my marriage to Connor, and you know, the thing that the net that was around him was sexual acting out, pornography affairs, there was always other women. And so I felt like in a period of my marriage I was fighting against the enemy himself, right? Because I didn't want my marriage to end. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Okay. I get that kind of tenacity. But you know what it requires? Two people.
No.
It requires two people to fight. He's not fighting for you.
No, he's not.
And that brings me back to Catherine, our first caller, that's talking about loss. This is loss.
Yes.
Feeling left out, feeling insignificant, unimportant, unloved, not chosen, threatened.
Yes.
Threatened.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Even in a physical way. I mean, not from him, but one of his daughters, he recently had a, we had a surprise party. It was actually a disaster, but because of this betrayal of the girls and my husband, she elbowed me to get out of a picture.
Oh, that's just rude.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's just mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Growing up, did you struggle in your family of origin to belong? Did you feel unseen, unheard, unloved in
always.
Some... Always. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because this, my dear, is a replication. This 9-year painful story, it's like you're living out what you grew up with. And you're in that same situation. And that's why you're staying. You're staying even though your husband shoves you out of the picture.
Ruth, you use the word beautiful. I think that word is in your way because it's misappropriated. It's misapplied. Right? This isn't a beautiful situation. This is a painful situation. And to Sherry's point, I believe that to survive the pain of rejection of your childhood, that you had to kind of put on that, hey, everything's okay because it's better than nothing, and I'll just call it beautiful.
Yeah, that's sad.
It's very sad. And the thing that's misapplied is that the beauty that is hiding in plain sight, and that's you. And I want you to have the experience of other people being able to safely, accurately, and boldly reflect that back to you.
And Ruth, if you keep pursuing your husband in the same way, and I think you're trying to nice your way through everything.
Well said.
I think you'll just get more. You'll get more of the same, which is overlooked and unappreciated and not cared for or protected. And I'm sorry to tell you that I actually think anger and protest are the answer to your problem. It may not save your marriage, but anger and protest will save you. It will save your sanity. And I know that's a foreign concept.
So, Ruth, here's what we're going to do. I want you to stay on the line. We're going to connect you to a therapist in your area. We are also going to send you the resource, Take Your Life Back. And I would encourage you, next time we have an Emotional Freedom Workshop, please attend. But start on it right now. This is about recovering you. And recovering you away from people who can't reflect your beauty back to you. We want that experience for you, and we'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. We're going to go right back to the phone. We're going to go to Judy in Farmington, New Mexico. Judy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, how's life in New Mexico today?
It's beautiful and sunny, and the wind doesn't look like it's blowing. We still have a lot of, we're right in the Four Corners.
Yes.
Excuse me. And we still have a lot of snow in Colorado.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us what
it... We're enjoying it.
Yes, in that beautiful, beautiful area of the world, what's going on in your life that we can help you out with?
Well, I'm concerned for my pastor and his wife. And I don't know if you guys have any resources. I've looked online and everything, and I've called you guys many times. But anyway, the pastor's wife is my very, very good friend. We've been friends for about 5 years. They've been at our church for about 5 years. They came from Oklahoma. My pastor is my husband's best friend, or they're very connected. He's a deacon and everything. Mm-hmm. And my pastor has thrown every bit of his life into this church, trying to get it started, trying to get it to move forward. He's very, very, very driven, very driven. And we've come out of so many slumps in the last few years that it's also played a toll on their marriage.
Yeah.
And my friend, his wife, it's very easy for her to not get involved or get involved in church. She's a drummer. She can do anything. She's amazing. She can do anything. She puts her mind to it, she can do anything. But if her feelings get hurt or somebody says something, she runs to her daughter's house that lives in Houston at a drop of the hat.
Oh, okay.
And so they're just pulling farther away. So this last week was an incident counselor, he went to Houston to go get her because she'd been there for 3.5 weeks. And he went to Houston to go pick her up and brought her back, and she's already left and gone.
Wow.
Because there's no communication. Mm. You know, and I know pastor, I'm not stupid. I know pastors have a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I just see that his church is everything, and his marriage is just slipping away, and she's allowing it to slip away.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he's allowing it to slip away.
Well, and that's, you know, whether it's pastoring or being involved in something, one of the things that we have in our lives that is sort of a magnet inside of us is the magnet of comfort and control. And I know that this is true. This is true for, it can be, it's not gender specific, but because I work with a lot of guys, what I find that a lot of my driven male clients do is that when they can't figure out their home life, they double down on their work life. They go to that magnet of comfort and control. And it sounds like maybe he has done that. And maybe she's gotten in a stuck situation that is just too painful. And it sounds like it, you know, when I see like people fleeing, you know, states and staying away for 3.5 weeks, it's like, ah, it could be this situation, but it also seems to speak to something historical in their life mm-hmm. as well. And so there's a lot going on here. So, Judy, the question for us is how do you help them?
How do I help them? I've tried to send them on retreats, marriage retreats. I've tried to send them on pastor retreats, and something at the last minute always happens.
Oh, you know? Okay. Yeah, yeah. They're
so
avoiding.
They avoid that because
One more quick question for the pastor. Does he have men in his life where he enjoys deep, transparent relationship?
I don't know so much, but he does right here in our community. They're from Oklahoma. He has a lot of pastor friends. He's very, very popular. We did over 100 baptisms last year.
Okay, so the answer to that. Okay, but yeah, and maybe we don't know because that's what the popularity is not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to a depth of transparency and intimacy with other people who know him well and who know what he's struggling with.
I think it would only be out of state. I don't know that it would be so much in our church personally. I know that he's ministering to two men that are going out into ministry.
Okay, so
and so those could be, I don't know that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Where's the power here?
I don't know.
That's how I feel. I'm sitting here going, you've got pastors, that's like a runaway train, who is not doing what the Bible talks about, which is taking care of his family.
Right.
So he's out of line.
Yeah.
But everybody's pointing fingers right now. And I'm just going to talk from theory for a second, because I'm seeing it like he's a train and there's tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going along the tracks and he's just adding cars to the back of the train, right? He's just adding a bunch of cars.
Mm-hmm.
His wife has been the caboose, and sometimes she's barely hanging on, right? And you've tried to ask, but there's no consequences.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody saying, hey, gang, we're concerned about your marriage. Like, deacons do this. Deacons come together with a pastor and say, we're not comfortable with what's going on. We're concerned about your marriage. There's some signs that make us fearful that you're going to burn out or your marriage might not survive. And so we're going to ask you to take a 2-month sabbatical and to get into some concentrated marriage therapy to start.
And do you have any of those suggestions? Because I don't know, in our area, it's so small. I just don't know if we would have any of those facilities.
Well, here's a couple things in there. You know, we do have the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. Obviously, it's not coming up until July. But, you know, there are our nationwide network of therapists, and even in rural areas or remote areas, we can get, you know, online therapy, at least that going for them, you know.
I mean, right. They need that. They need that accountability for their marriage. And if they're mm-hmm. unwilling to do that, they're like a bar of soap. Y'all are responsible for your pastor.
Oh, yeah.
You might think he's in charge. You might think he's in charge, but you are responsible to direct him.
Yeah, and I agree.
I happen to have, I'm a former pastor's wife, so I feel like I have authority to say this. Because I think there's a lot of people that said a lot of things that knew a little bit about what was going on, but we became crash dummies because mm-hmm. there wasn't enough support or accountability mm-hmm. or confrontation. Everybody just was kind of nose to the grindstone. But there's got to be a line in the sand that ends up costing him dollars and cents, mm-hmm. financial stuff. There's got to be something. We had to lose that. We had to step out for a period of time.
Well, as of right this very minute, since this just happened a few days ago and stuff, myself and my husband are the only ones in the church that know that anything is going on.
Okay.
There's no one else in the church that knows. It's just us.
Okay.
Nobody knows in our church that our mm-hmm. pastor's wife has left.
So let's do this. You let them know because they're both your best friends. You say, we know you're struggling. We're going to give you one more last plea to get into some marital counseling within the next 15 days. I'll give you some resources. Just let them know. We'll give them to you. Stay on the line and we'll help you. But within that 15 days, if we don't see that you are going to weekly therapy, we need to let the other deacons know. Mm-hmm. Now, that's going to scare you and your husband to death because of your friends. But you can't keep the secret.
Yeah.
That's what everybody
exactly
does.
Right. That's exactly right.
And Judy, you have a position of influence because you love this couple and you have years together in relationship. So I think God has particularly positioned you to speak into what is happening and to do so with a lot of understanding. I see that you're hurting. I see that you're running. But you're also avoiding the help that we've been offering. And you need more for you, and our church needs more from you. So this is why we're asking, but we're also requiring this for the good of the church community and for your family.
That's so good. Yeah,
yes. So
what is very scary is our church is starting a $3.5 million campaign.
Okay, so hold on. This is why it's crucial. I could write this playbook right now. This couple is avoiding something incredibly serious in their marriage, and there's a lot at stake. And whatever is hiding and avoiding is a direct threat. Now, in this, Judy, I'm going to say one last thing for you. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You have to understand that you and your marriage come first, that you need to guard what you have, that there might be some consequences to this. But your well-being is at stake. You need to understand kind of, hey, where is my line and where do I stay home? So thank you so much for calling in, Judy, and we'll be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh with a program note about the many ways you can listen to New Life Live. If you have an Android or Apple device, the New Life app is one way to listen. It's available for your smartphone, tablet, Apple TV, or Roku streaming device. There are archived programs, articles, and short audio and video teachings there as well. Just go to newlife.com and look for the download the app link. It's at the bottom of the homepage. And for an even more complete list of ways to listen, go to newlife.com and click on the Listen tab.
Thank you so much for that, Terry. There are a lot of ways to connect with us. One of the ways to connect with us today, right now, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to, again, be in studio for another hour after this, so give us a call. Let us help you out, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to go to one final call in this show, and we're going to go to Susan in, where is that, Warrenton, Virginia, listening Onwava, W-A-V-A.
And so, if you're on the line there, just stay for us. We'll get you on the next call.
Thank you for that.
I still want them to go away.
Don't go away. Stay with us. So, Susan, are you there?
I am.
Well, tell us what's going on.
My son, my 38-year-old son, has came home to live with me and my husband 2 years ago for me to be his caregiver. He was burned in an explosion and survived, 85% burns on his body. He survived.
Whoa.
And he came home, and so I've been taking care of him, but he's recovered for the most part. And for the good part of this the first year, I was, really tolerant of his moods. He was calm at first, but he's starting to be pretty moody and angry. And, so I've tried to say, well, he has PTSD, of course. He's been, with laser treatments, and they suggested that he seek counseling. And
what, has he sought counseling?
No, he doesn't want to. He talked with a counselor a couple times and basically, convinces her that he's okay. He has his own way of dealing with his situation. And, he can come off like he's okay. And so, I've been thinking, he's also a Marine, and he's been to the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. And so he's got, double PTSD.
He's carrying a lot inside of him, right?
Right. But he also has kind of a very negative father. And we were married for 22 years, but divorced many years ago. And so, a lot of times we say, well, he's like his father. He's very negative. But as I've been watching him lately, and I'm kind of like the person he comes to for counseling. I'm the one he likes to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very negative. It can be verbally abusive in a way, or emotionally abusive for me, because I'm his mom. But lately I've been researching a little bit about...
Well, let me do this, because we're going to run out of time here if we don't get to the question.
Okay.
So, Susan, how can we help you today?
Well, I'm thinking that maybe he's bipolar, and even looking back at his whole life...
Let me jump in. Don't diagnose, right? I'm only going to say that because... He could be, but we don't know. We want to make sure we get to somebody. But how can we help you?
I want to help him, but I want to know how to encourage him. He's totally against medicine, but I'd like to encourage him to maybe consider it and consider counseling. I know partly.
Let me jump in. So the question is, how do we help you get him the help that he needs, right?
Right.
And Susan, I think you have been encouraging him to get that help. And so I don't know that encouragement will work. It will probably have to be stronger than encouragement. It may be a request that has to start to turn into a requirement with some privileges linked to it, because he's already saying very clearly, I don't want it, I don't need it, I'm not going to get it. Now, you probably have the most leverage in his life, because he actually shows you his need by how frequently he comes to you. But you may have to strengthen his desire by withholding some things from him until and unless he goes and gets treatment. What would it be like for you to turn it into a requirement and say, I'm not the best listener for you, and so I'm actually going to have to redirect you to talk with a counselor and a professional who can really help you better than I can. And some of these privileges of living at home will also become linked to your willingness to get treatment.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be like for you to take that firm stance with him? I'm sure it would be frightening.
Well, it would be difficult, because I know he'll just get angry and he'll march off. And you know, so I'm trying to find the best approach to really make something work with it. I know I trust God, and I know that God has a plan for him.
Sure.
And I know that I need to be patient and just trust.
But let me say this. I also hear that you're in denial.
Mm-hmm.
Denial. You're spiritualizing a problem that needs to be addressed, that's critical. We started the show today talking about addictions. Your son is a candidate. If he's not already using something on the internet to try to numb his pain, you know, gaming, porn, who knows, marijuana, I don't know what he's doing, but he's not getting intervention. And spiritualizing right now is not going to help him.
Okay.
When he gets angry, you move away, you cower.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's all he has to do is get angry or yell at you or whatever. I want to suggest you get into Al-Anon.
Yes.
Well, I am. I actually just recently started.
Good. Good.
Yeah, and that is very helpful, and I feel like it's been really good for me to be a part of that.
So Al-Anon, you might need help with some intervention. Sarasate, you know, is a brain treatment that might be something that you can look into. It's not medication, but it is used with PTSD also, C-E-R-E-S-E-T. There's just some things. And get into your own therapy, because you've got to grow your core strength, because he's holding you hostage by his anger and his apathy.
Yes, he is.
Alice used a line earlier today with a caller, said that she was nicing her way through the situation.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Right? So niceness is no longer your strategy.
Uh-huh. Put patience to the side as well. Put patience to the side. It's not a time to be patient. It's a time for urgency.
And to Sherry's point in this, you don't need to help him because you can't. He's already refused your help. You need to help you create a safer place for you to live and move and have your being. Okay? And so we want to encourage you to get into some therapy for you, that you can hold much stronger boundaries. You can hold your own value. You can set demands with consequences, and so again, that you can create a healthier environment for you. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, Susan. Thank you so much for calling in today. Everyone out there, thank you for listening to us. Again, if you want to give us a call, 1-800-229-3000, and we wish you a very, very good and grace-filled day.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.